First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 1st, 2023, John chapter 14. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father.
Please rise and join me in reading John 14:7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. You may be seated.
Our sermon today is titled, like the verse is titled, Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus in the Father and the Holy Spirit, as a matter of fact, all work in changing us for the better if we follow Jesus. God is a God of second chances. We'll have an introductory video that will illustrate it.
It's pretty easy for us to be enticed with new. Like a new car. A new home.
This is cute.
A new job. A new trend. A new look. A new you. And maybe that's not a bad thing, because our Creator seems to be all about new. Like a new promise, a new command.
Hi.
New life, new mercies, and even a new year. God not only loves new, but promises to make all things new. And we are invited into the sacred work. In our words.
Oh, come here. Let me help you with that.
Our actions.
Sure, of course.
And our generosity. So I guess the question is.
So, what's new with you?
Rise from the dead, and 40 days later, he ascended to heaven. He wasn't with them anymore. He wanted to prepare them for the time that he would be in heaven and not immediately in their presence. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Jesus was able to say, you know, because the way had been clearly revealed in John 14:6. But in one sense, it was true. The disciples did not know. They had not paid sufficient attention to the words of Jesus. I always say, don't be so poor that you cannot pay attention. They did not know the Lord as fully as they would have known him had they given closer heed to all his words and admonitions. Had they done so, they would have had a fuller and richer perception of the Father also. They had failed to some extent to see him as the only Son of God who, because he is the Son, reveals the Father. From now on, said Jesus, you do know the Father and have seen the Father. The most obvious explanation is this. You know, recognize the Father from now on because of these very words. For I have now clearly told you that I myself am the way to the Father. You have seen the way with your very eyes, physically and spiritually. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. I'm going to talk about Philip specifically, but it generally applies to all the apostles. Philip was one of the earliest disciples, a man with a Greek name, so he was probably influenced by, he was a Jew, but at least he was under the influence of the Greek culture. He came from Bethesda in Galilee, the town of Andrew and Peter. It was he who had been instrumental in bringing Nathanael to Jesus. To him long ago, Jesus had addressed the question, how do we buy bread? Cakes that people eat. He asked Philip to be in charge of feeding the 5,000. He had given an answer which revealed his little faith. To him, Greeks had come the request, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." It was this Philip who said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be content." With his physical eyes, Philip and others desire to see the Father. He was asking for a theophany. What is a theophany? A visible manifestation of the Father's glory. He did not seem to realize that a far greater privilege than Moses enjoyed while on earth had been given to him. He had seen Jesus. He had seen the prophet that was to come, who was greater than Moses. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Philip and the other apostles, the other disciples, had failed to listen carefully to the words spoken to Thomas earlier, that the Father had become clearly seen in the Son. Had not the Master revealed this truth again and again from the very beginning of his ministry? Since Jesus' first public appearance, more than 3 years had elapsed by this time. We may ask, was there any truth which Jesus had emphasized that he, the mediator sent by God, had come to speak the words and to perform the works of God? In these words and works, he was revealing the Father. This way, the Father was in him as the mediator. He relies on them seeing the eternal relationship between the Father and himself, the unique Son of God. In the Son, we have God's final revelation. He was the Word. He was the living Word, and he spoke the very words of God. As true as it is that he who has seen the Son has seen the Father, so true it is that he who has not seen the Son and understand who the Son is has not seen the Father. What the disciples lacked was not genuine faith as much, but faith in full measure. 11 of the disciples were firm believers, except for Judas. But they did not understand or trust Jesus completely, in full measure. Due to their own sinfulness, they had not seen this clearly enough. Jesus continues, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that are say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father. as he remains in me, does his works. This passage shows that first shows that all knowledge with respect of the facts of redemption is based on genuine Christian faith. As I say all the time, God wants us to believe most of all. The expression, I am in the Father and the Father in me, makes sense only if the Father and the Son are one. One in essence, one in divinity, one in equality. The Son is on the same level as the Father and the Holy Spirit. In all the divine attributes, the Father is like the Son. The Father and the Son, and also the Spirit mentioned in John 14, 16, 17, and verse 26, do not exist apart as human individualities. They exist and through each other as moments in one divine life. Whenever Jesus speaks, the Father works by means of this speaking. Every word of Jesus is the work of the Father. The works of the Father are not limited to the words of the Son. They also include his miracles or signs. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. The disciples were wavering in our faith. John 14:1 says that. A faith which had never been strong. Whatever faith is present in their hearts must be kept there and strengthened. What Jesus was doing, his purpose was all the disciples, except for the one who wrote this letter, John, met an early death. They were martyred. They spent their life witnessing for God and Jesus, and it cost them their very lives. You only die for something you firmly believe in. He was trying to emphasize that they needed to trust him completely. They needed to realize, but they hadn't yet, but they needed to realize that everything Jesus did, he did not do on his own accord. He did not do it on his own initiative. But he was directed by the Father to do everything. So the Father is in me means everything Jesus did, he did under Father's direction. The Father agreed. The Father led him. The Father was going to lead him to the cross. Everything was for our own and the disciples' own benefit. Especially now, with the Master about to leave, they are urged to take Jesus at his word. If this is difficult for them, they should believe because of the works considered by themselves. Jesus did miracles. Jesus walked on water. He helped Peter walk on water. Jesus fed many people. Jesus ultimately raised Lazarus from the dead to illustrate he had life in himself for us. Remember, Jesus says, verse 3, I am coming again and will take you to be face to face with me. Then you will always be where I am. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Verses 4 through 11. Although my visible presence will be withdrawn, I will ever remain for you the only way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'll illustrate this with a funny way. I bought this for myself for Father's Day one day. Dad of all things. Thing one, Craig. Thing two, Adam. Thing three, Brittany. Thing four, Daniel. My children in the past have humored me with many things. But they posed for their picture. Here is the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ helps us know God as our Father, not just our Father, but our everlasting Father, one who will never leave us or forsake us, one who is ever there for us, one who has us in the palm of his hand forever and ever. In fact, it is the distinctive privilege and distinctive mark of a Christian to know God as everlasting Father. This is the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You know God as Father. You don't grope in the dark looking for some higher spiritual power. I hope you don't. Or chase after some false and fickle deity. No, because of Jesus, this child to be born, the son to be given, you can confess that there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and from whom we live. It says that in 1 Corinthians 8:6. God is creator and sustainer and judge of humanity. But the Bible wants us to understand that he is not the father of everyone. He only becomes our father when we stand in unique relationship to him through Jesus Christ the Son and through the Holy Spirit who makes us one. None of us has a right by virtue of birth to call God our Father. Only one person who has that right, Jesus Christ. In fact, only through Jesus do we learn to call God Father. Only through Jesus can we call God our Father. You can't have the fatherhood of God without embracing the sonship of Jesus. That's what Jesus was trying to say. The Father is in me. I am in my Father. You have to have a relationship with Jesus as the Son through the Holy Spirit's ministry to have God as your Father. Only through faith, God wants us to believe him. Only through faith in Jesus can God become our Father. And I'm not a perfect father. My children know that. But God gave everyone a father. We're imperfect. We fail sometimes. But we're supposed to love our children and our children's mother. So love is the characteristic fathers are supposed to have. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's an Awana verse. But it's a good thing to remember. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. God loves us and gave us the best. It's up to us to receive it.